I just want to draw your attention as we begin this text. Aki may cover it in a little while, but it says on the third day, which means there was two separate before days, right? On the third day. So there's a three-point sermon if anybody's looking for one. All right. On the third day, there was a wedding at Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus also was invited to the wedding with his disciples. When the wine ran out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what does this have to do with me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you."
ヨハネの福音書2章1節から5節を日本語で拝読します。それから3日目にガリラヤのカナで婚礼があって、そこにイエスの母がいた。イエスもまた弟子たちもその婚礼に招かれた。ブドウ酒がなくなった時、母がイエスに向かって、ブドウ酒がありませんと言った。するとイエスは母に言われた。あなたは私と何の関係があるのでしょう。女の方、私の時はまだ来ていません。母は手伝いの人たちに言った。あの方が言われることを何でもしてあげてください。
Good morning again.
Good morning.
How's everyone doing? Good, 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 good. Well, Tom wanted a three-point message on the third day. On the first day, no, just kidding. it starts off on the third day, and I did have actually something to say about that. On the third day seems to be an interesting way to begin any kind of story. That goes to show that the chapter break really probably wasn't a good break there, maybe, because it's talking about an ongoing thing going, and this is the third day. And, sometimes we make the mistake of separating chapter 1 from chapter 2, but it's a continuation. It's a continuation there. Now, I actually don't know the significance of why John would say on the third day, other than it's continuing. But, you know, the third day, that phrase, on the third day, is not a common phrase, but a phrase we've seen before and a phrase we'll see again. For example, in the Old Testament, it was on the third day that God comes down on Mount Sinai, on the third day. And of course, we know Jesus rises from the grave on the third day. And I've actually spoken on this passage. Do you guys remember that? I went through John. And do you know what happened on the third day of creation that I mentioned last time? Anyone? I believe on the third day it's a double blessing. There's a double blessing on the third day. And isn't that interesting that this wedding happens on the third day? And I think there's some theological, something John wants to say by saying this is happening on the third day. It says, on the third day there was a wedding in Cana in Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus was also invited to the wedding with his disciples. And I do believe that Coco and Maeda-san, you coming all the way here to America from Japan, and you guys didn't have to do that, but you guys did that, I think, for us in some ways. Thank you so much. And I do believe you wanting to do it at JCCT speaks about you inviting Jesus into your wedding as well. and Jesus' disciples here were at the wedding. And that's an important thing. God blesses the wedding. Jesus is invited to the wedding, and I think God affirms just the sacredness of marriages. All throughout Scripture, God affirms the sacredness of marriages. In fact, going off the script a little bit, there's a mystery in marriage that is Paul talks about. And the mystery of marriage, the two becoming one, he says, is the mystery between Christ and the church. And there is this two becoming one that Christ did for us when he died on the cross. Going back to John, it says, when the wine ran out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what does this have to do with me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servant, "Do whatever he tells you." Best advice ever. Do whatever Jesus tells you. If you ever get into a bind, remember that quote. Remember that phrase, "Do whatever Jesus tells you." That will help you in any situation, even when the wine runs out of the wedding. Even when things go bad. Weddings seems to go wrong. At every wedding. I've never been to a wedding where nothing went wrong. Maybe it's me. Maybe I'm the common denominator. Every wedding I've been to, something eventually doesn't go the way planned. Same with my wedding. 2,000 years ago, same at the wedding in Cana in Galilee. They ran out of wine. I've already told you what happened to my wedding, so I'll spare you the details of what happened to my wedding. I'll tell you what happened to this wedding, though. I'm busy packing everything, getting everything in my truck. I have food, I have decorations, and I have a coat and tie, and I forget my notes. I forget my transcript for the wedding, so I'm like squinting, trying to find, get everything off this phone. Just something is bound to happen. If it wasn't for the iPhone, I'm sure Jesus would have like produced something. But I had the iPhone, so he didn't have to produce one. But isn't it interesting that something is bound to go wrong at weddings? But here, the mother of Jesus says, "Do whatever Jesus tells you to do. Do whatever he tells you to do." Now, maybe we should look at when Jesus says, "My time hasn't come yet." Jesus, throughout the gospel, makes it clear that his words and deeds, his actions, are not his own. He does not act on his own. So when his mother tells him about the dilemma, Jesus being the oldest son, and probably the mother had some kind of responsibility for this wedding, I think Jesus, in his heart, wanted to do something. He wanted to help. I don't think he just said, "You know what, I don't care, I'm just here to have a good time, I'm here because he told me to come on." I think he was there, he wanted things to go smoothly, I think he wanted to save the situation, if you will. But he says something, he says, "My time has not yet come." Meaning, it could mean several things, but one thing I think it means is this. I'm only doing, right now, this period of my life, what God tells me to do. What he says, what he does, what I see him doing, that's what I'm doing. And as much as I want to help you out, mother, my time has not yet come. It's interesting when Jesus' time does come later in John. Nate and I were doing a Bible reading on our phones. I forgot the app's name, but it's a daily reading so that you read through the Bible for a year. You could read the entire Bible in a year. And one of the readings we did this last week, Jesus said, "My time has come." Here he says, my time has not yet come. And in John later on, Jesus says, my time has come. You know what he does when his time comes?
Cross.
Yeah. He decides to go to the cross. When his time comes, when it's time for him to shine, if you will, when it's time, when he has the freedom maybe to do whatever he wants, when he says, my time has come, he decides to sacrifice his life for you and I. What an amazing God. What a good God. What a great God. Here, Jesus' time hasn't come yet. He's not moved by his mother's request or anything like that. But Mary knows best. She says, you know what? Do whatever this man tells you to do. And the servants, they listen. Moving on, it says, now there were 6 stone jars there for the Jewish rites of purification, each holding 20 or 30 gallons of water. Jesus said to the servants, fill the jars with water. And they filled them up to the brim. And he said to them, now draw some out and take it to the master of the feast. So they took it. There's a lot going on here, needless to say. But a couple things. One, the family was probably pretty well off. They're pretty rich, if you will. Common use is vase, or is pottery. These are 6 stone jars, if you will, that holds water, that holds 30 gallons of water. So these are huge stone containers. They're probably pretty wealthy, and they're probably pretty godly. They have these stone containers for purification rites. So they value that, the purification being cleansed or right before God, and these are very nice containers. They're not the stuff you get at Walmart. I don't even know where you would get these things. Where do you guys shop to get these things?
Williamson.
I was going to say Macy's. That's like my level. That's the highest I go is Macy's. There's been a lot of discussion, the significance of water into wine, of course, you know. And some say the water represents the Old Testament, Old Covenant, and the new wine, when Jesus comes, represents the New Testament and New Covenant. However, I read a commentary, I forgot the name of the scholar, but the commentary pointed out, you know, people have said that, but he believes that the old wine is actually the Old Testament, an Old Covenant. You know, the wine that ran out. The wine that was so good that they couldn't get enough of, that even though they probably prepared for a 7-day feast, it runs out. Maybe midway through it runs out. It's good wine, right? You know, God's good, Old Testament, New Testament. He's always been good. You can ask any of the Old Testament followers and they'll say, of course he's good, that's why we followed him. God is good throughout. And even in the Old Covenant, Old Testament, God is good. He was good. He is good. It is the same God. I believe what the water represents, though, is when the wine runs out. When God's presence runs out, and all we have is purification water. All we have is just religion. When God's not in the picture, I think that's what the water represents. And in Jesus' context, I think that's what was going on. There was about a 400-year silence between the Old Covenant and New Covenant. And then during that time, I believe what happened was the religious, the institutional church came up, the Pharisees, Sadducees, and there was corruption within the midst of those people. people. And that represented what was present, water, just simply purification water. Jesus comes on the scene. He comes on the scene in a wedding, no less, to represent that there's going to be something new, a new union. And the wine he brings, the wine I believe that represents God, is just so much better. As good as the old wine was, so much better. In fact, it says, when the master of the feast tasted the wine, the water now become wine, and did not know where it came from. Though the servants who had drawn the water knew, the master of the feast called the bridegroom and said to him, everyone serves the good wine first, and when people have drunk freely, then the poor wine comes. But you have kept the good wine until now. This, the first of his signs, Jesus did at Cana in Galilee, and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. God is good. God is good both Old Testament, and as good as he was in the Old Testament, there is this new wine that Jesus brings that is so much better. No one expected God to continue to increase his goodness. How good was he before? But his goodness doesn't stop. In fact, there's an abundance of goodness. There's so much goodness. There's 6 jars, 30 gallons, all great wine. You know, you go to one of those fancy Italian places and they have those wines, those big wines. Jesus was the first to come up with that. That was his idea. And he has that in abundance, in spades. The water is what we come up with when God runs out. The wine is what Jesus is, what God wants us. I believe Jesus did this miracle at a wedding because the mystery of the bride and the groom becoming one points to the mystery of Christ and the church becoming one. And that is what Jesus did for us when he dies on the cross later on in the gospel. And when he rises again on the third day. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your goodness, your wine that flows freely, your goodness that never ceases. Lord, for some of us, we need to taste your goodness again. We need to taste and see how good you are. I pray for those of us who are just living on purification water, that you would transform that into wine right now, in our lives, in our hearts, in our minds. The experience we have with you, Lord, would be the best thing we've ever tasted. We thank you, Father, for your goodness and your grace. Amen. Now, we've been talking about weddings here.